after our podcast with DeAndre Peak, we had so much fun. We all had to keep the conversation going by talking about her roots as a drag queen who got her start on the Atlanta-based cable access program, The American Music Show, which also featured a very young RuPaul. Listen as we chat about the incredible drag scene of Atlanta in the 80s that gave birth to such legends as RuPaul and Lady Bunny, and lots of juicy behind-the-scenes tea.
Well, let's see. Okay, which name do I like? And, oh, well, there's DeAndre. That's kind of ridiculous. I'll do that one, you know? And so...
So hold on a second. So there was an insurance company in your town, and you guys, like, looked at the names of all the people that worked there, and you're like, these names are hilarious. Let's make up characters based on these names.
Yeah. Somebody we knew had a listing of actually people who were insured by the company, and they were... This was just a list of names. There was no personal information, nothing. It was just the first and last names of these people. And so they just printed something out from the insurance company just as a list of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of names so that we wouldn't, you know, we would have a choice of names and stuff. And so we picked a few last names, Peak, Swern, Odom, Fain, you know, Epps. And so everybody in the trailer park, Odom's all double wide mobile homes court, were all named after various combinations of these names from this list and stuff. So
a friend of mine, her name is Kirthy. Her name was a combination of Dorothy and Kermit.
Wow.
Just put it together. But you know, back in the day too, it's like you could get a phone number under any kind of name. And I knew a girl, she did like telemarketing, like this is back in the 80s, and she called somebody on the phone and she's like, she couldn't believe it because the woman's name was Gloria Thunder Pussy.
Oh my God.
And she's like, that's how her name actually appeared on my sheet. And I'm just like, that's, you know, that's a good name. You can't do that nowadays though.
I think I've seen those people on stage, the Thunder Pussies.
The legacy of George W. Bush is now we can't use like, you know, aliases as names in the United States.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, you know, what will the future be? Now they're going to be like, putting you in jail for being DeAndre Peak.
So you were at Wigstock a week before 9/11?
Yep, because it was Labor Day, and you know what happened on September 11th. So I was up there. That was the one where Dick Richards and I went together. And if you've seen the one where I do "What Is Love" up there with with Dixie Richardson dancing behind me, that was that year. We went up there for like 2 days. We just went up for Wigstock really fast, and came back to Atlanta. We stayed with our friend Ed Woodham in Brooklyn, and we got so close because we came across the bridge, and you know how you come across the bridge and you're right there at the Trade Center.
Sure.
We came across. I could have stuck my hand out the car window and touched the buildings. And then a week later, all that hell happened, you know, and it was just like terrifying to think, you know, that we could have just been there and there it was, you know, so really felt it bad. You know, because we had just been there. And so many people that we knew who we had just been with who lived in New York were living through it, you know, at the time. So
it changed like the way performers related to the audiences, too, because they're like before 9/11, a lot of performance artists and drag queens to some regard were sort of very provocative with their audience.
Confrontational, and they'd want to
peeing into cups,
rile them up and piss them off.
Yeah, and then afterwards it was like, I don't want to sit through that. It's like the world's harsh enough as it is.
I want to give everybody a big hug.
Right, exactly.
Like I, 2 years after 9/11, I was booked for a drag show in New York City, and I did a drag act with Barbie dolls wearing burkas.
Oh gosh.
It didn't go over very well.
Well, people were like, you know, oh, it was full of puns, you know? So it was like, it was like, you have to Afghanistan by your man. Wait a minute here. You know? So it was about like, my drag character as she started dating like a terrorist. And so she lost herself in the world of the jihad.
Tell her a joke.
Which joke was that?
About the penis.
Oh, yeah. You know what the most exciting thing about having sex with a terrorist is?
No, giving a terrorist a blowjob.
You never know when his dick is going to explode in your mouth.
Oh!
And then Lady Bunny said, you never been had till you been jihad. Oh! One day I will find out who Beryl Mandelbaum is.
When you find out, let me know.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was such a big mystery.
It's a mystery. It's an anonymous person that writes material for Lady Bunny. And Asher's like, does it bother you that you don't know who this person is? And she's like, no, not at all. You know how Bunny just kind of like,
yeah.
If she doesn't want to talk about it, she don't want to address it. It just doesn't, she goes, you know.
She can cut it off.
Whereas RuPaul's more like his way, like we all have our way of dealing with things we don't want to talk about that are painful or weird or difficult or awkward for us in one regard. But I don't understand why Lady Bunny doesn't want to talk about Beryl Mendel.
Because it's like it's her ace up her sleeves. I think that's what it is.
She feels like it's probably Lady Bunny just doing another, you know, Facebook.
It's probably
account.
Bunny herself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Being on another computer.
It's like blame it on somebody else.
Right, yeah, you know.
Oh, you don't like that joke? It was Burl's.
Right.
Co-written by Beryl Mendelbaum.
Blame that other bitch, not me. Yeah, you know.
Well, Lady Bunny was staying with us, and we have a dog. And I gave her my bed, and so I'm sleeping in the living room. And I like six, and the Lady Bunny wakes up really early in the morning. And so like I'm laying on the floor and Bunny's kind of a prankster, right? So I'm laying there and in my ear, I hear like, and I'm like, God damn it, Bunny. I'm trying to sleep, you know, and I turn over and it's my dog.
Oh man.
Licking my face.
It wouldn't be the first time Bunny got confused for a dog.
So, yeah, I think with All-Stars, I think Alaska's probably going to win it.
Well, she is pretty fabulous.
Mm. You know, she's the only one that sort of, like, gets it. A lot of her drag material is sort of examining the experience of being a drag queen and the phenomena of Drag Race and the relationship of drag queens to their audience, whereas a lot of the drag queens are sort of, like, caught up in their characters or caught up in their fantasy world.
Yeah.
Whereas Alaska is very much in the here and now, in the present, and is very funny and very clever in writing songs, for example, about, you know, tipping her a dollar.
Right, right, yeah.
I don't know, did you get to hear Anus, the album?
Yeah, I haven't heard the whole album, I've just heard the song.
There's this one song that says, like, let's be friends and give me all your money. And then the middle of the song, she's like, I got merchant t-shirts. I take PayPal, American Express, Visa, MasterCard. I can't remember the lyrics, but basically it's like Tina Turner's, you know, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yeah.
Or Private Dancer, sorry. And,
right.
And, you know, she's like, it's one of those like rap songs where you're bragging about how much money you have, but it's all about like a drag queen trying to hawk her merchandise.
Did DeAndre ever have merch?
I've had, buttons and pins and things like that. We had, DVDs, for a while for sale. And of course the VHS stuff with a collection of some songs that are just now sitting on YouTube, you know, and stuff. Mm. So we had a little bit of merchandise, not a whole lot, but you know, I never made any kind of real money with DeAndra. Most of it was just money to make back whatever we spent in making something, you know. Well,
they have a whole drag queen shop now in downtown LA, and if you go in on certain days, if you spend a certain amount of money, you get to actually meet one of the drag queens from Drag Race.
And that's good a reward God. Now.
Wow.
I know. Could you imagine?
Because I remember the days, like, people didn't want to meet the drag queen. They were like, it's okay. You know, they felt there was like something chaotic and dangerous.
But now
they're
on TV. It changes everything. TV is the great, you know, hypnotizer. It just it takes you from being like just, you know, a girl in a bar on a stage to like you're a superstar now because you're on my TV.
That's right. You know, you're right. Television is a huge star maker. You know,
well, even with us and YouTube has done a lot of that too. Like we went to a drag con to shoot a documentary on the fans of RuPaul's Drag Race. And And like a lot of these people, like it was really easy to approach people because they all knew who we were.
Yeah, from Cooking with Drag Queens. Yeah, wow. Mostly.
Yeah, some of them are fans of the podcast, yeah. But a lot of them watch those Cooking with Drag Queens. I mean, we've had like about 4 million views of the series.
Wow.
And all those kids were at this expo, and most of them, you know, lining up to meet, you know, Alyssa Edwards. I don't know why, but they were.
Because she's fabulous. Barbara, please.
Barbara, please. Please, Barbara, please.
As an old school drag queen, what did you make of her?
Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford.
Oh, yeah. She was so great.
Yeah.
Well, it was so weird. It was, yeah. It was off-putting, right? And then you just like, it really grew on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because it's like a parody of a parody.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. She's parodying Faye Dunaway doing Joan Crawford, right?
But she's parodying drag queens parodying Faye Dunaway. There's a lot of layers.
Herself, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of layers. But, you know, I mean, Mommy Dearest, of course, is on my top 10 list of greatest movies of all time. You know, that. I never really cared much for Faye Dunaway as an actress until she did Mommy Dearest, which was just like such a break from her being Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she was always Faye Dunaway to me in any kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Evita with Faye Dunaway?
No,
it was a made-for-TV movie. It came out the same year as Mommy Dearest did, and you can watch it all on YouTube. I think it's in 13 parts, and she does Evita Perón the same as she does Joan Crawford, pretty much the same way, you know.
And it's a sequel to to Mommy Dearest, but it takes place in Argentina.
Yeah, and there's one scene, because you know how there's that famous in Evita, she's up against this aristocratic old lady, and the old lady eventually dies, and they're gonna go bury the lady in the cathedral. But, you know, Evita's not going to have it because she hates this old lady. So she blocks the funeral. And she's like laying in her deathbed, basically going, "Over my dead body." I'll send you the link to that because that is just like, it is like over the fucking top. You can watch that. My other favorite one with her, Faye Dunaway, is 3 Days of the Condor, which she does with Robert Redford. And it talks about how the whole media is controlled by like the super elite, which it is. We find out. And she has sex with him. And it's just like the look on her face as she's having sex. It's just so bizarre. It's just like she's just mugging for the camera. If you're like, if this is what it's like to make love to a woman, I don't want any part of it.
Well, Rosser, thanks for chatting with us. I recorded a little bit of this conversation at the end to put as a
little teaser.
Easter egg. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, no, that's totally cool. Anything you guys want is great. You know?
Tell me your banking number and routing number and Social Security.
Let's see.
For history.
4, 5, 2, 69.
Do you know T.S. Madison? Doesn't she live in Atlanta?
She does.
I don't know that person.
Do you know Do you know T.S. Madison? She's a transgender sex worker. Who's a video blogger. She was on RuPaul's Gay for Pay show.
She was for 4 seconds, yeah.
For a couple seconds. And I think they recorded a song together. But she's large and in charge. Do you know Tyler Perry? He lives in Atlanta, Georgia.
I don't know Mr. Perry, but I do know some people who have worked for Mr. Perry.
Well, every gay man in Atlanta, Georgia has a Tyler Perry story.
mine is not anything, you know. I just know people who work for him, and they say, well, you get mixed results. There are some people who really like working for Tyler Perry, and then other people who are like, I worked for Tyler Perry for 2 months and that's all I could take of it, and I'm out of there. So you know, so some people he's a monster, to other people he's a you know, entrepreneur and a entertainment genius, you know. So
he can make a living doing those movies, and that people like, because, you know, we're fans of it, but we're sort of like, you know, it's like a bad movie. We don't consider it high art or even funny, you know. It's just a train wreck.
Well, he's definitely found a niche that enabled him to, you know, create the world that he did. So, you know, I guess more power to him for being able to do that, you know. So
he wants nothing to do with gay people or RuPaul's Drag Race or anything. Like, Tyler Perry should be a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, but
he's too rich for that.
He's like,
well, I think he's too much into, like, I know it's really kind of super camp what he does as Madea, but then he also wants to think of himself as a some kind of a serious actor, you know, and stuff. And I really think he ought to stick to the comedy. I mean, if you saw that character he did in the Star Trek movie, the first one with Chris Pine, he was so bad in that. It was
there's nothing for him to do. All those new Star Trek movies are terrible. You know, it's like all the plots are like the characters don't want to be in Star Trek. You know, the last movie, they're all like, I'm thinking of quitting Star Trek.
I know. And you just wanted Madea to be in space. You know, you're like, Madea,
it's
space.
My dear. Yeah. That's the pun, my dear. Like, oh, my darling.
My dear.
Yeah. It'd be funny to see her in space, though. That would be.
Yeah. With like an astronaut helmet. And she has to... Put those aliens, put in
another
place.
She has to put them together.
Put them together.
And send them back to their planet.
That actually wouldn't be a bad thing. I'm a family. I think it was the Cleveland Show actually parodied Madea in one of their episodes. And but it was really transphobic. Like, the whole plot of it was they discovered that this sassy aunt that comes to put everybody together turns out to be a crossdresser.
Yeah, weird.
And so they had like a female actress doing her voice. And then when she gets out of drag, it's a different actor doing, hey, what's going on? You know?
Oh, man.
That Cleveland Show was just a piece of shit show. God, it's like nobody liked it. And was like the guy who does the main character was a white guy.
Really?
Yeah.
The black guy was played by a white guy?
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it was totally fucked up. And, like, the bear was done by a...
Wasn't done by a real bear?
No, but it
was... The wife was done by Ari Huffington.
Ariana Huffington playing a conservative Christian bear. It was like, it just... So much of it didn't make any sense, and, like, the jokes didn't land, and it was... Like, I'm watching it now on Netflix, and I'm just like... Every time I'm done with it, I'm just like, God damn, this show sucks.
Oh, the Honey Badger Don't Care guy just bought a t-shirt at our store. Isn't that
sweet? Yeah. Honey Badger does care.
He does care. I think that's him.
Randall?
I can't say his real name.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows that's Randall.
I don't think that is his real name.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, you actually know his real identity?
I think so.
Identity? She?
Yes.
Even Randall's not the real name, right? Yeah.
Well, we're surprised that we found the real you. Like, maybe
after
you're
all,
not.
We've been wondering for years.
We've been Nancy Drewing your existence.
And we have asked Buddy about you in the past, but I don't.
She didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
she's like,
she didn't understand what we're asking, or maybe you weren't on Facebook at the time or something. Or
it was very. I asked Robert Coddington first about you.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, he's in Atlanta, you know, he's busy, he doesn't want to be bothered, you know.
Oh, gosh, that's so funny how people interpret what it is that you want, isn't it?
Well, I was like, who's the missing piece of the jigsaw? Well, we got to talk to Holly Woodlawn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, when she was still coherent.
Yeah, yeah.
This was in 2006 that we interviewed her.
Wow.
It was actually really good, you know, but like even the sound quality's like improved with the iPhones with a audio FaceTime. Mm-hmm. It's like you're right in the room with us, you know?
Yeah.
Like the audience doesn't even know that you're not here.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, they do know because we start the show.
You'll keep me posted about when this is on, right?
It'll be up tomorrow. So
it'll be on tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God!
It's
okay,
fast
great.
Turnaround here at Feast of Fun Studios.
The very special world of DeAndra Peak.
Yay!
Can we get a DeAndra call saying this is DeAndra Peak and you're listening to my favorite podcast, Feast of Fun? Yay!
Okay, let's see. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey y'all, this here's DeAndra Peak, and you're listening to my favorite podcast of all time, Feast of Fun. Yay!
Yay! Wow, that was like...
Wow.
I wish I could get, you know, I got RuPaul to do that.
Did you?
I did. He's like, this is RuPaul. And now I do that. When I'm not listening to your, what is it?
And you bitches better work.
You're listening to Feast of Fun and you bitches better work or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah.
One of my favorite things was when we asked RuPaul, was like, do you have any regrets? And he's just like, I regret I didn't suck more dick. And I was like, you know what? That's a good thing to regret. I said, so I'm going to let more people suck my dick.
I really loved that NPR story they did on RuPaul.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. And the greatest thing was that they got him to talk about the American Music Show here in Atlanta, because there's so many times when, you know, he would just be Atlanta would be glazed over. And, you know, if it wasn't for him being here, he may not have become famous as fast as he did, because he got involved with Randy and Fenton at World of Wonder through, going up to New York and his Atlanta connections and stuff. And so, because the Star Booty album was produced by them. So, so they actually had produced him before Supermodel, and they were a brilliant band themselves, you know, as the Pop-Tarts. So,
Does RuPaul still send you checks every month to keep quiet about her shady past?
I wish. I'd have a whole lot of money now. But
you'd be like, you keep your mouth shut, Rosser.
You know, the funny thing is he really was, to tell you the truth, he was so focused all the time just on doing show stuff that he actually was kind of pretty squeaky clean. I mean, in terms of, you know, anything I ever knew about him being really trampy or any of that kind of stuff, I never ran into that side of it. It was mostly
that's what his regrets. He regrets not sucking more dicks.
There you go. See, right
I heard a rumor, and I'm not sure this is how much of this is true, but it was like RuPaul was really reluctant to embracing that Supermodel of the World character, and that it was more Matthew Anderson and Zaldi that pushed him to do it. And then for a while, like RuPaul and Matthew Anderson weren't talking to each other.
I believe that's true. And in fact, you know, one time I got in trouble with Randy and Fenton, because right after RuPaul got famous, I got a call from this tabloid in Britain who called me up and wanted to interview me and talk about, you know, what I knew about RuPaul. And so, of course, I'm just chatting and being honest about RuPaul and stuff like that. And Randy and Fenton were all focused on trying to make RuPaul as famous as possible at that time. And they didn't want any negative stuff coming out. And I talked about how, you know, back in the day when RuPaul was a go-go dancer at the Weekends Club, I used to go out there and he'd be dancing in a jock strap and high waiter boots up on a platform, and nobody would be tipping him. And so the game was, I would go and I would put a dollar in his jock strap, and then suddenly there'd be a line of 20 people wanting to put dollars in his jock strap. Mm-hmm. And so after that, then he'd come get me and we'd both go get cocktails off of the tips he made. So
you got to prime the pump, they call it in the business.
That's right. And, so I got into a little bit of trouble over that. In the way early days, you know, and
why
stuff.
Would that be a bad thing? That's like tip. That's how tip jars work.
Yeah, but if you're in a jock strap, you know, back in the early 90s, that would have been very provocative.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Well, and plus they didn't want anything to go against the grain of the glamorous supermodel image. Oh. You know, which was the blonde hair. They didn't want any images of him out at that time that were from the Star Booty days, you know, when he had the mohawks and the crazy outfits and stuff and the gender fucking. They wanted it all to be about you know, getting the supermodel brand out there and stuff. So I think they don't think that matters much anymore, you know, because There's not much you can do to to get.
Well, you know, after Project Runway, it's, you know,
it's all uphill.
It's all downhill from there.
Well, I think that's part of the reason RuPaul looked like crap on Project Runway. And like even Lady Bunny was on camera with us making fun of RuPaul, saying like, now, lighting doesn't affect a bitch's ability to pick up a goddamn brush and run it through a rat's nest of a weave looking like Beyonce on a budget. And then I had RuPaul on the show, and I played that clip for him, and he just was like,
"Bunny is the funniest person I know."
That's right. Well, you know, RuPaul and Bunny went through some rough times too, but I think they're back in a good relationship now, and you know, and stuff. And I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, with him getting famous and what the issues are with being a famous person, you know, so, and protecting that, you know, and stuff. So
what it's also like, you know, and maybe this, like, Mr. T's daughter, she's a stand-up comedian in the area. We were supposed to interview her on the podcast and she kept standing us up. But in the process, I started doing research on her and she said that, her father, was really bitter because when you're black and you become famous and you're successful, you're not just feeding you and your family, you're feeding your extended family.
Uh-huh.
Like everybody wants a paycheck from you, you know?
Right.
And I don't know if that's true for RuPaul because he has a pretty small, intimate family. But I imagine that as a gay man that you have a community that sort of like has a lot of mixed feelings about your success.
I think there were a lot of people who kind of felt like maybe he had left them behind.
Yeah.
I felt like, for me, what I felt like was that he's got to do it for himself. You know, I mean, that
was a selfishness to it.
Well, I mean, it always was about him, you know, and that I just accepted that. That's what it was about, you know,
well, you
and
love he had to yourself. Work.
Yeah,
you ain't gonna love
your bank
you know?
Account. How the hell you're gonna love yourself? No, but part of it is like for us, we've been doing this for 12 years, and I was on cable access for like 6 years before that, and it's like I formed a lot of friendships with drag queens over the last 20 years of my life, and some of them were best friends to this day, you know, and others, especially the ones that sort of like really succeed in entertainment, it becomes really hard to maintain a friendship because the entire world is like their best friend now. And you don't get to really spend quality time and you don't really have a relationship with them anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And part of it was like in the beginning, like that relationship that we had, it was more like, you know, it wasn't based on their fame or success, but now, because of what we do and because they do, then our relationship is only based on them coming on the podcast and talking about their latest album or stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and so for me, it's like, sometimes it feels like it makes me question any of my social interactions because everything's like, well, you know, and I actually, Bob the Drag Queen was doing Cooking with Drag Queens and I was just joking with him and I said, oh, it's like, you know, in 6 months from now, you're going to be famous and we'll never hear from you again. And that's exactly what happened.
That's not true. When he was in town, he called me.
Oh, and, did he?
Yeah, of course.
Did we see him?
No, we didn't get a chance to see him, but he was performing. He had wigs to buy and jewelry to buy and stuff, but, you know.
But it's a situation, and he was like, he responded, he's like, why would you say something like that and stuff? And I'm like, well, you know, because I know that you're going to be really busy in the coming years, and if you really succeed at this, we'll probably never hear from you again, unless we get into a situation where we're in the same boat as you, and then our paths cross once again, but... The friendship that we had in the past is no longer possible because we're living different lives.
Yes. And busy supporting those lives, you know, making that happen. So,
well, do you have like any straight friends who had like kids and you're like, oh, we're going to still be friends. And of course they have kids and you never hear from them again either.
Yeah.
They move out to the burbs.
You know, some of that happened, you know.
So maybe like becoming famous is sort of like getting pregnant.
Pregnant,
well, it's definitely
fame.
Your baby.
Then your fans and your career become your baby and you just have to always be breastfeeding them at 3 in the morning.
Man.
You know, and I like a lot of these drag queens, like some of them like can't handle the, you know, it's just like being a parent in a lot of ways. It's very stressful. They lose sleep and they're not, you know, they don't know which way is up and they lock themselves in the bathroom and don't want to come out because they want to escape the reality. And they're like, this is all my dreams. These are the dreams that I wanted. And they all came true. And now I don't want, it's the same thing as being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You have this romantic idea of what it's like to be a parent. And then you realize I'm just changing diapers. Basically.
It's a whole lot of work, right? Yeah.
And at least it's with the dog's going to be dead sooner or later, but the kid's going to be around for the rest of your life.
Unless they run away because you're a terrible parent.
Mommy, this is your mother. Bring me some vodka and a pack of cigarettes. Well, Rosser, any plans to come up to Chicago?
No time soon. Give me a reason.
Well, I wish I could. It's like if I had all the money in the world, I'd be like Oprah, bringing you guys in person, you know, to do all those stuff. This is like Deandra Peak stays at the Four Seasons Hotel in beautiful downtown Chicago.
That would be great.
Where you get a chocolate chip cookie when you check in, and if you're a person who likes to eat, you can lie and say I didn't get the cookie, and then you can get it again. I actually seen drag queens do that.
Wow.
Like when they check in at the Four Seasons, because I guess we used to get booked, I'm not going to say any names, but we used to host a Pride Fest at Milwaukee, and we used to share a hotel with all the talent and stuff, and one of the drag queens checked in and was like, I didn't get my cookie, and I was like, I saw you, bitch. I saw you eating that cookie in a while. And I was like, oh, here you go.
That's all they eat is that cookie.
Well,
don't eat anything else.
These are, you know, it's stressful. And the thing about it is like it's got, when you go to college, you know, you gain 15 pounds because you finally have access to food at the college cafeteria, you know, so it's a freshman 15.
Right.
And that happens to all the RuPaul's Drag Race girls. Mm-hmm. And so we filming them on Cooking with Drag Queens, we actually get really lucky because we get them before they sort of hit it big, you know? And by hitting it big,
in a lot of ways.
And so Bob said from the time, I don't know if this is public, from the time we filmed him in July, then he went to film RuPaul's Drag Race, and then when we had him in the home studio to do the Cooking with Drag Queens, he's just like, I gained 30 pounds since I saw you. And at the time,
really?
he couldn't say that he was on Drag Race, and we never talked about Drag Race. We were like,
knew.
It's that craft services table. Because, you know, these girls in New York, they're living off a slice of pizza a day, you know? And then it's like, oh my God, there's food here.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Well, and like Kim Chi, they asked her, like, now on the show, you get to choose what you eat.
Mm.
Like they say, what do you want? And it says Thai, Chinese. And Kim Chi was like, I want Chipotle. And because the drag queens are very competitive with each other. So if they see one drag queen doing well and eating Chipotle, the other drag queens have to eat Chipotle too. It's so crazy. Like they just imitate each other in some weirdly weird ways, you know, like Chipotle became a thing. And like contouring your nose or highlighting your nose so it has basically a white exclamation
right
on it became a thing.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, huh?
And you would think like all these drag queens would just kind of go on their own paths, but they're all, you know, part of it is like, I don't think they're as successful as the image they portray. And, you know, they've got a lot of people to pay, you know, to support, to do what they do. And so they're hustling still a lot, you know?
Yeah. It's an awful lot of makeup to go through all the time.
Well, I imagine it has like all that powder has effects in the
lungs.
Lungs. I wonder if like in 10 years from now we're going to hear about drag lung.
you know what? That's interesting. I never thought of that, but you could be right. That's a lot of powder you're breathing in.
Because Fausto's brother, he's his older brother from like his father's first marriage, kind of looks like Fausto, except he's bald. But what he does do is he takes all the hair from the back of his head and he combs it forward in like this thick kind of
shell
kind of thing. And then he hairsprays it. so much. Oh. And the doctor actually warned him. He's just like, listen, you have to be very careful because you use so much hairspray. It's going to affect your lungs.
Oh, my God.
In fact, what you got to do when you whenever you use hairspray is spray it in the bathroom and hold your breath and then get out of the bathroom.
That's what I do.
You have to lock the fumes out, or if you, you know, because it's really actually hairspray is really bad for your lungs. You're basically
inhaling would imagine
aerosol glue,
or that seems like it would be. Yeah.
So Rosser, are you visiting your sister right now, or are you in Atlanta?
I am. I'm at my sister's house in my hometown. Yeah, Bradenton.
That's so nice.
So we're. She's got a pool and a boat, and we're, I was in Cocoa Beach for 3 days, and we just got over here. So I spent the last 3 days on the beach in Cocoa Beach, and now we're over here. And
didn't you have a hurricane down there?
We did. Hermine came through, and I just missed it, thank God. So, but they had some pretty rough weather here. For a day or two with a lot big, you know, wind and rain and stuff, some trees knocked over and some things like that. So, I was fortunate. I missed it.
Well, Rosser, we're going to take this little second part and put it as a secret post show conversation. So any kind of
cool
personal secrets that were revealed, we'll have to dig in to find it.
That'll be great.
RuPaul's be
I
like
can't wait to hear it myself.
Oh yeah, get sign up, go make yourself a membership right now, and I'll give you a VIP access to everything,
so you can
Yay. Great.
Thank you so much, Deandra.
Thank you, sweeties. I really appreciate it. Love y'all. Talk to you soon then.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.